Okay, the story goes like this. Rav Kaisvit was Rav of a small place before the war. Where was it? You know the place? I've forgotten the name of the place. Do you remember? Kaisvit was a, and he was an Ilui. Rav Kaisvit, the Talmud of Chachmei Lublin. And he was a Gaon. He was an Ilui with an unbelievable memory. There's lots of stories about his youth. But I'm not going about his youth now. I'm going when his first shtela was Rav in a place. And Kaisvit was approached by a Balabosinis killer who was very wealthy. And he said, listen, pardon? Yes. I did say it.
I don't remember.
Okay. The Swiss bank account one.
Yeah,
I have said it. Oh, they don't. So please say it over there. I don't remember it.
You said it a few times.
Have I said it? So I saw it. Fine, okay, so we'll skip it. I think it's a brilliant. Okay, I'll do it quickly. I saw it in Be'er Chaim this week. So he was approached by a balabos in this kill, and he said, listen, I don't know what the Nazis are thinking of. It's getting quite serious. I don't know what's going to happen. So please, if something happens to me, I'm very wealthy. I've got a bank account in Switzerland. These are the details. Pass it on to my closest relative. He said, I'm sure everything will be fine. It wasn't all fine. And he was murdered in the war. And his children were murdered in the war. And there was no... So after the war, Kaisvit tried to identify and find the closest relative of this individual. He was unsuccessful. He couldn't find anybody who was closely related to this person who had this big, fat Swiss bank account. Couldn't find anybody. Kaisvit became very famous, became the Rav of Antwerp, and he made this very... he became very well, and he never forgot this commitment which he had. It's worth it. He's got the details of a Swiss bank account, but he couldn't find who is the close relative. Years went past. He couldn't find anybody. In the 1980s, Avkaz was invited to be a guest speaker in Yerushalayim. So he was very frequently would speak. He was a very good speaker, very famous darshan, and he found himself in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Just before a speech, a guy said, Droshe was about to give, and he was a bit early, he was very punctual, he was a bit early, and he goes into Beis Medrash to learn before the, I've got 20 minutes before I'm going to speak, he goes into Beis Medrash, opens up a Gemara to learn a little bit in advance. Lo and behold, somebody comes up to me, Kaisvit was famous, he had a lot of stock of money, and poor people would approach him. Somebody approached him and said, I'm poor, Yoshani comes up to him, very poor, visibly very poor, and he said, I've got so many families, two bedroom flat, can you please help me? He says, sure, I'll help you. Takes out some money from, and he asks him, what's your name? And he gives him his name. He says, serious? Where are you from? And he asks some details. After a short interrogation, he finds out he must be very closely related to this person who said, are you related by any chance? Yeah, great nephew. He says, you know what? You're asking me for stock money? The reality is that actually you're a multimillionaire. There's a Swiss bank account waiting. He remembered the conversation 50 years earlier by his great uncle, and he says, all you need to do is, you know, to do a Swiss bank account over there, ask for your details, go with your passport, you actually have got some millions waiting for you over there. And that is, that was exactly what happened. He was able to identify himself as a close relative, although the Swiss banks were at times very difficult about this. There's other stories ending a bit differently, but he wasn't able to take all the money from that particular bank account, and he became a very rich person overnight. So, but what I did want to put in context, and there is a sefer called Cheshbon HaNefesh. Over there, he brings it's an early Musa sefer. He brings in contrast an untrue story. I think it's just a marshal of somebody that has lots and lots and lots and lots of money in a bank account, but he doesn't know that the bank has actually gone bankrupt already. He doesn't know that. So he lives with a certain safety and confidence, and he's got that security, that safety net, which actually doesn't exist anymore. He thinks he's got all that money safely stored, but it's not there anymore. So what that teaches us, what does that teach us? Both stories together. I think there's a problem. It's in the mind. That's it. That financial security... And that financial, that peace of mind that we're saying, to a very large extent, it's not about the reality if you have or you don't have money. It's really very much in your mind. So the guy in Yerushalayim who lived for 50 years in poverty, he had millions waiting for him in the account. He just didn't know. So it was meaningless to me. As opposed to the guy who thinks he's got millions, but the bank has actually gone bankrupt already, and he doesn't have that money, and he's got that peace of mind for an unreal situation. So it's a lot of it has to do with what's in a person's mind. I think that's a really important message. Yeah, that's okay. Good. Rabbi, say we're up to Simon Tov Kuf Nun Dalet. We discussed yesterday the Ubois. Today we're going to be speaking about Chaya Sivov. Chaya Kol Shloishim Yoim. A lady who just gave birth, Chaya, a lady who just gave birth, called Shloshim Yom 30 days, V'chen Choyle, similarly, a Choyle, Shul Tzorech Lechoyl, who must eat, Ein Tzrichin Oymet. So we are now talking about two categories of people who may eat. One is a lady who just gave birth, and one is a Choyle who is unwell, sufficiently unwell that he may, in fact, must eat. Halach is ein tzrichin oimet. He does not need a, how are we going to translate oimet? Measure. Does need an estimate. So we don't have to say, listen, you're going to survive for another 3 hours. You could survive another 3 hours. So you know what? Fast for another 2.5. We don't need to do that. Ein tzrichin oimet. You could manage without drink until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So start drinking at 3. No, start drinking now, and start eating. If it's a choyle who is in that category, they may eat immediately. Ein tzrichin oimet, they do not need. What did you say?
Measure,
estimate. Yeah. Ella, ma'achil noy semiyad. They may eat. If you're in that category, may eat straight away. Tebemokum choyde loy gozur rabbanon, because in a place of choyle of illness, loy gozur rabbanon chomim did not establish their decree, their gzeira, their tannas, their fast day. They may eat on the spot. However, miu noyge leis anoyz, the customer over is, says the Rama, say that the minhag is to be a bit more restrictive, and to the custom is to, as long as they don't suffer enormously, they try to fast. As long as it's not, make a life sit, but you don't have to be stringent in this matter. So the Rama does say there is a minhag that if you can be a bit more restrictive and you can start eating later, you should do that. But the Rama reassures that if a person wants to be more lenient in this matter, that's totally fine. And here comes the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Nudalet, who speaks about the Magen Avraham, the first white line, on this stringency, which may or may not apply, depending on a minute, certainly does not apply, says the Magen Avraham, certainly in a year like this year, where Tisha B'Av is, it's not Nitche, it's Takam on Sunday, right. So certainly on a year where it is Nitche, where Shabbos falls on, as Tisha B'Av falls on, and it's pushed off to Sunday, you certainly don't have to be machmir. If somebody's in that category, have a great breakfast. Enjoy. So, but I have on all the other Tisha B'Avs, if there is great will for stringency, one can be stringent. But again, Rabbi Yisai, in principle, the halach is, b'mokum choyde lo yigoz rabbonon, somebody who is clearly within that category of a choyli, he can break his fast immediately. And here comes the Bialoch Rabbeisai, who speaks about a pandemic. Yes, the Bialoch comes about. Do you recall a few months ago I said a story of Chaim Kanevsky about the mask? Ayaduna mask. Do you remember that story? The story goes that Chaim Kanevsky, Chaim Kanevsky was approached. There's a weekly email from Rabbi Arya Dunner, who gives lots of stories and psokim. He goes into Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky a lot. And he said that Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky was approached about when the mask started to become more common. Do you remember the beginning of the pandemic? Do you remember that? Rabbi Yisai, Pesach time last year, nobody spoke about masks, but people were talking about, what did you have to, at the beginning?
Isolate,
that's right. And wash hands, and what else? The gloves. The gloves came before the mask. Do you remember that? Rabbi Yisai, the gloves came before the mask. Gloves, that's right. Do you remember Pesach last year? Yeah, when he broke out. Purim, Pesach time. He was the gloves. Oh boy, so we have to do Chazorah.
Next year
they're
going to pick bags for everybody.
That's it. So he was the gloves. And then the mask came in later. True or not true? Nobody's talking about gloves anymore, right? You're trying to plot it out.
Summer holidays.
The gloves came much later. That's right. The mask came out later. That's right. Tried when you went to buy your matzahs, did you have gloves? Try to picture something you remember. That's how I remember it. You had gloves. Did you have masks?
No.
You did not. Probably not. Masks. Do you remember? You don't remember? Yeah, right? Okay. So when mask came, so they asked Abraham Kanevsky, you know, she won't wear a mask or not mask. I don't get the background of the question, but they asked Abraham Kanevsky. Abraham Kanevsky said, of course, it's a mafur, should be aloch, it's black and white. That, you know, it's not chiddush, mask is not chiddush. It's not be aloch, Mishachov Tzchaim speaks about mask, you should wear a mask. And he said, well, we're bialoch, and people start looking, and people found it in a bialoch where?
Yeah.
Here! This is it! So if you want to know about Mars, the story of Chaim Kanevsky about Adonai Mars, here it is. Abayi say, let us see this bialocha now. So it's also a little bit of a question with regards to wearing masks on Shabbos. But let's see what the bialocha is over here. So Mokum Choyli, I'm reading the bialocha because there's quite a lot of implications in terms of Hilchus pandemic. So I'm a Sefer Pischei Olam. Now I do not know who the Mechaber of the Sefer Pischei Olam is. But he's quoted over here in the Bialocha. Tebemokim shena machlo, in a place where the machlo, where the illness or the pandemic or cholera is chazoko, in a place where cholera, what's cholera?
Cholera,
yes. Which is bubonic plague. The cholera, it's not common, ain't chazoko, where it's not so strong, where it's not incredibly strong, where the plague is not strong. Chas v'sholem, but it is there. Chas v'sholem, but it's not strong. Yoichal pochas mekoseves. One should eat on Tisha B'Av less than the koseves. Bechdech ilaspas. You should eat a little bit, should eat a small shear in a time gap of Kedech ilaspas, which we've spoken about, maybe 6 minutes, maybe 9 minutes, maybe something on those lines. Vechein b'shtia, similarly with regards to drinking. K'mo shikosav ashurim b'shulchan aruch v'zim etov rishu. See what is discussed in Hilchas Yom Kippur, Simen Tov Reshut Ches. One should eat those small measures in the year if there is a plague, Chas V'Shalom, but it's not strong. One should have those shurim. I'm skipping the brackets. Umishir Tzelis Anus B'Mokim She'enem Achlo B'Zam. And if somebody wishes Dafka to fast in an instance where the plague is not strong, but it's there, Chas V'Shalom. Yesh li yatzo, one has to recommend and tell him, la'zir shelo yeilech mepesach beisei kol hayom. You may fast, but don't get out of your house. In other words, how do we call it nowadays? Self-isolate. You can fast, but you've got to self-isolate. Plus, v'la'achicho, you must force him, k'sheyeitzei, if you do go out, and here comes the Kshayetze, when you go out, Yisa Sovil Chotomo, you should put around your nose the piv and around his mouth. Yes, that's right, the mouth and the nose. Chatichas Kamper, a bit of cloth material. It's got to cover the mouth and the nose. And that's the chum of the Mishibu. It's got a bit of herb as well. Miate, I don't know, I think it's, which herbs? Miate, herbs, mint smells nice, peppermint, I don't know. You have to put a bit of mint in that something that smells nice. I've got the copyright for this. I'm purchasing the copyright for the mask with mint flavor. I'm acquiring the copyright. So that will be the next, not only that it probably smells very nice, but it's got the brocha of the Chofetz Chaim that it helps against any, it's a really good idea.
You made it with salmon.
Oh, can you make your sound? So, Rabbi, very much that we can learn about this. There's certainly halachas. What's interesting? What's the most interesting part of this? There's lots of interesting parts of this bialocha. I'm really learning. I would have ignored this bialocha 1.5 years ago. Not ignored it, but I wouldn't have taken it as. I think there's lots there. What are we seeing, first of all?
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun, true. But so he tells us a little bit about Hilchas mask wearing. He tells us he's got to cover the mouth and the nose. Okay. And it tells us about self-isolation. It's brilliant. And it's telling us about what? It's telling us also that a person who wants to fast, so he doesn't like people fasting. And it appears, is he talking about somebody who's ill or not ill? Doesn't have to be ill, right? He's not ill, but yet shouldn't fast. That's very interesting, Abu Isai. He's talking about Tisha B'Av. Let's get this clear. We're talking about Tisha B'Av. He says somebody's not talking about ill. He says when there's a pandemic around, he's got leniencies. He shouldn't fast. Does that apply today? You're talking about today, Tisha B'Av, Tovshin Pei. I'll have Tovshin Pei.
Yeah, yeah.
Tisha B'Av, yeah. What do you think?
A year ago, it was in the case had gone right down. It was nothing.
Exactly.
And then, but please God, this might also be nothing.
There'll be nothing around. Yeah.
Let's say it was.
Right.
Last day.
Yeah. So if Tisha B'Av would fall at the height of a pandemic, Chas V'Shalom, I firmly believe that we've got an absolute precedent in this bialoch over here. That if one feels that, although one is healthy, but there is a dangerous plague around, then I think that, yes, we've got over here, bi'alocha, that Paschal son should not fast. And the truth is, Rabbi Yisrael, you do know the famous story of Yisrael Salanta, the famous story of, when I cannot put it in context. Rabbi Yisrael, do you remember the famous story of Yisrael Salanta? It's a famous story, widely misquoted. What? It was Yom Kippur. Well, what do you know about Pesach, the what? That I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's something else. That's a good story as well. It's a very good story as well. I'm referring to this story, though. That's right. There was a Yom Kippur and Yisrael Salanta. So the story goes that he went, Yisrael Salanta, he was very concerned because there was a plague going around. It was a pandemic. He was worried about people fasting. He was worried that people are vulnerable, people are not strong, and people may be feeling all right, but they are definitely more vulnerable. So he wants to make sure that everybody eats and is well and strong. He therefore went himself and he broke the fast with Nei Amva Eda in front of everybody. He started eating. Whilst there are people who disagree with the story and they hold this not true, there's certainly many who believe that the story is accurate and is true. The rationale for that story would be this bia halach over here. So I'm saying that if you don't like the story, you've got to understand why would that be different than this bia halach over here. There are people who don't like the story. Yeah, okay, but you can see that he tells too. Bia halach doesn't seem to be distinguishing. Yeah, that's the brackets that he says that you've got to make sure. Yeah, there is maybe a bit of distinction between, maybe there's a bit of distinction between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. But it is, I think it's really interesting from a medical perspective, from a historical perspective, what is the halachic understanding of that though? Why is it that if a person is well, strong, and fine, that he should not fast? Why? But Mokum Choli generally is translated as in an instance, meaning the person is a Choli. Then it goes about Bavonon. You say Mokum of Yeh means literally the situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's putting his. Yeah, once he's weakened, then the whole immune system is weak, and it could be there. Yeah, there's certainly an element of a chiddush that a person who is well should not fast. You're well, why don't you fast? There's no symptoms yet. Doesn't say you have to be the sneezing and the lack of taste and the temperature. No, without symptoms at all. Already should stop fasting. Right. I know, but will it make a difference? You're right. It's a good point. I want to ask you, though. Somebody is asymptomatic and is indeed able to pass it on. Would it make a difference if he has eaten or not eaten? Does it make a difference if he's fasting or not? Probably not. I would assume that it doesn't make a difference. So, manafshach, so what?
If it's written here, it must be.
You're saying that he's more likely to transmit the virus if he's fasting, although he's feeling perfectly fine.
Transmit or to be susceptible
to
it? To weaken his body and be more susceptible.
Right. That's more about transmitting. Yeah. Now, another chiddush is the fact that we are learning that probably an achron. I do not know who he was though, but yes. He doesn't say gloves. He doesn't say gloves. So can you be medayek? I don't know. There's one more important point, Rabbi Yisrael, before I close off. There's one more important point. The Mishnah at the end of Sifkot is really, really important. End of Sifkot Yudalot, he says, "I'm be'eli rabbi shkosa, da'filu yedish enu misane, tisane ezi shos." That's also a big chiddush. The Mishnah says over here, you know what? She's yoledes, she's given birth, very good. She doesn't have to fast. Okay, I understand. You just give him birth, you don't fast. Okay, I'm fine with that. Bialoch Mishnah says, but however, you know, if she can fast till chatzos, all right, do that. If she can fast the night, do that. This is a chiddush, because generally speaking, it's black. It's very much black and white. Either you fast or you don't fast. We're not wishy-washy. We are finding, however, a grand exception to the rule. Hayoledes on Tisha B'Av, you don't have to fast. I appreciate. I understand. You don't have to fast. Ya chayla, good. But fast till the morning if you can. Fast till chatzos if you can. Make a couple of hours of effort. Now this is not, we don't normally find this on Tisha B'Av. The Rabbi said this is really important. And this is why some poskim will say that to chaylim. You don't have to fast, but try to make it through the night. There's also a psychological aspect to that, because people feel much better if they fast a little bit. They feel better with themselves. So, you know, they feel better if they've done something for themselves. So it's talking about yoledes, in an instance that you don't have to fast. But the truth is that the poskim applied... But this is extended to any choyle, that if they don't have to fast, make an effort if you can, and that's that. But Rabbi said it comes from a place that we're clearly talking about somebody who is exempt from fasting. Then try to do it, as opposed to. It's hard to fast. Okay, so don't fast the whole thing. That's not true. Do you hear the difference? We're talking about somebody's exempt from fasting. La'alocha, choyle, yeledes, try to make an effort for a few hours. Okay, Rabbi Isai, what have we learned this evening? What have we learned? We have learned, chayakol shloshim yoim, choyle, do not need an oimet. They can break their fast immediately. La'alocha. B'mokom choyle goz rababonon. We've discussed that there's still a chumrah at times. If it's nitchet to Sunday, it certainly is no chumrah. We've learned that we finished off the shiur saying that there is an element of fasting a few hours if she or he can. One should be mishtatef in the tzar of the tzibur. You know, ikra, then of course, yes or no, but if one can, one should. And we also spoken extensively about the bialocha that tells us the instructions and guidance, what happens, chas v'shalom, if there's a plague. But the ikra is Be'ezer Hashem. There should be no further plagues, no machlo, no pega, ra, in our surroundings. Not now and not in future, Be'ezer Hashem. Wish you a very good evening.